Senior Focus.
Welcome everyone, I'm Anne-Marie Currie, I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And today I'm shifting gear slightly because we've spent the last few weeks focusing on the state of Auckland post all the traumatic events of the floods and the cyclone and so on, and looking at how we give feedback to the council. So with so many opportunities through local board plans and through the emergency management consultation document, through the storm recovery document, you know, our heads have been full of that. But today's program, it really is kicking off the election platform and people's ideas and conversations and dialogue around this election and the issues in relation to seniors. So today I have with me online talking Anne Parler, who is standing in Kelston for New Zealand First. And Anne has been a candidate for New Zealand First before, but I know that her passion for New Zealand First goes back a number of years, and also she has been a business person who was a company director. So I welcome you, Anne. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, hi. Thanks, Anne-Marie. Thanks for inviting me on your program. And I am so humbled that you've made me your first Senior Focus candidate. So, yes, I am with New Zealand First. And I've been with New Zealand First for about 11 years now. But my other business experience for 25 years, and obviously my work in the community for over two decades has carried me along to be in close contact with communities, and of course New Zealand First, being lots of Kiwis, you know, therefore my interest with local government and obviously central government. Thank you very much for inviting me today.
Well, I asked a question earlier on when we were chatting about what you considered to be the three most crucial things facing seniors, because there are a lot of crucial things facing us as a country, and some of the things that face seniors are also going to be things that impact on everybody else too. So seniors are not necessarily a special group, but we know that they're sometimes hidden, and they're sometimes have needs that aren't met. So they aren't people who have corporate lobby groups going to Parliament. So they don't have access to those consultants that really push the buttons. And I think seniors are, at the moment, probably in the facing the toughest times, because it's not just the economy and the inflation and the price rises and so on, but it's also the fact that there's been no concerted planning going on behind the scenes for our rapidly growing ageing population. And when one in four Aucklanders will be over 65 in the next decade, plans really need to reflect that, and they don't. So that's my opening gambit to anyone who is planning to stand for our Parliament. How are you going to address those needs, and what do you think those needs are? So the floor is yours.
Absolutely, Anne-Marie. I hear you, and I hear a lot of concerns. Our country needs, good people to come to the aid of our country and our people. And we need to give some real hope back to our people, our families and our communities. And for our seniors, I feel, you know, the crime is quite important aspect. We need to get tougher on the rising crime, restore safety to our homes and our streets. Cost of living is huge for our seniors, you know, because the cost of living affects what they can, you know, whether they can put food on the table, whether they can go access health care, or they can heat their homes. There's just so much affecting our seniors. And you're right, we are going to be 600,000 plus seniors by 2028. So we need to care and, you know, we need to put some plans into action to improve the lives of our seniors. They've earned the right to be looked after. And New Zealand First has always been a champion for seniors, obviously ensuring the eligibility age for the super to be 65. It will remain 65. The establishment of the Super Gold Card in 2005 and expending more benefits to it in 2017. We introduced the winter payments for seniors and community service cardholders. And we are concerned about the services that they're not being provided in the healthcare and the disparity of seniors, you know, putting one race over the other. That is a huge concern for us as well. We want to protect freedoms of all. We want equality for all. Obviously improve the lives of our seniors. You know, again, I want to repeat, they have earned the right to be looked after. And similarly, all people need opportunities, you know, so we need to create opportunities for our seniors to better health and better social infrastructures, you know, to get rid of their loneliness. I'm part of the Waitakere Grey Power. And nationally, there's about 12,000 members who are not able to continue to pay the membership. So that is a concern because it creates loneliness for our seniors, and we've got to action that very, very soon, Anne-Marie.
That's quite a comprehensive statement that you've made there, and I thought about some of the things that you mentioned. I was wanting to ask you a little bit more about healthcare, in particular about hospital beds, because we have a huge shortage. We've just lost 1,200 hospital beds for older adults in our system. That's mostly people who need ongoing daily care in a rest home or hospital type setting. And those beds have gone because there hasn't been the staffing to keep the service going. And that's quite sad because we're going to need a huge increase in bed numbers in the future, and we're losing steadily numbers right now. So we're going backwards. And I just wondered, this is going to be quite a costly exercise to look into this, simply because we have relied on the retirement villages supplying hospital beds in the private sector, and they've been the main port of call. And that's been one of the ways they've been able to market their retirement village products, because they can say, well, look, if you come to us, we've got a hospital bed. But what they are planning now in the future is to reduce the number of beds that they offer. So they will only be available to people who already are in their village, and everybody in their village won't even be able to get a bed.
It's quite a worry for our seniors, I think, you know, and as we have both agreed, there is going to be a major increase in the numbers and a major decline in the health problems. We need beds. What New Zealand First is considering or is intending to do is to fund residential care for our seniors. And that residential care includes rest homes, dementia units, upper geriatric care, and long-term hospital stays.
Yes, and this is very good news. Is this going to be a case of providing some funds to different providers who would provide different services, or is this going to be like a government, a totally government-run program and infrastructure?
Currently, we have not identified that, but New Zealand First is aware that funding has been lacking for organisations who are service providers.
Mm.
So we will be establishing units where they are funded appropriately, so that they can be sustained. It's no point funding organisations that are not sustainable.
Mm.
And then we have closed shop. You know, we have loss of beds.
Mm.
So there will be some strategic level work done in this area, but that is an announcement that has been made by the leader, and we are looking forward to, because New Zealand First Party is a party of seniors. It looks after seniors. It has been proactively representing seniors, and therefore, you know, we will, you know, we want ageism to be celebrated. You know, they deserve to be celebrated. Therefore, we are going to be looking after them, and they are part of the society. You know, we shouldn't treat them as problems. We should treat them as you know, our communities, our people. You know, they are New Zealanders after all. So yeah, that is New Zealand First policy going forward.
Yes, well, thank you for outlining that, and particularly the new injection of funds into aged care. I think that would be magical music for many ears at this time, because it is such a glaring gap and so many people have concerns about it. Of course, parallel to this is, before you get sick, you are living your life and looking around your four walls and wondering what the options are as you go into the next stage, because you know, growing old is not just one stage. So you're going probably through your lifespan through two, maybe three, even four stages in older age, depending on your health. And so you need, when planning ahead, it's quite difficult because you don't know how long you're going to live for. You don't know what conditions you're going to have. Some people develop conditions late in life that are quite a shock to them. You know, they suddenly have to take medication when they've never taken medication before. Some people have dramatic things that just incapacitate them, and they end up needing to be in a wheelchair with a lot of care suddenly because of a stroke. Other people are just a very slow burning decline, and it's not until they can't see everything they want to see that they have issues. So we're all different, we're all going to age differently, and most of how we're going to age is actually something that we do have some control over, but more it's very difficult. Some people don't realise what they can do to keep themselves healthy, how much they can influence that. And it's not until afterwards, when they've had an event, that they look back and they think, oh, well, I could have done this, that, and these and those, and I didn't. And now look at what's happened, but I can't turn the clock back. So learning what you can do requires education, it requires connections, and that's what I think the social infrastructure is so valuable for, because if you start ageing at 65 and you don't have input, you don't have people helping, then you're not really in a position to be able to get the best out of situations. You're not going to make the best choices. And that gets back to our hospital system and healthcare and everything, because you look around the country, how you get on has, up until recently, is dependent on your address. So if you lived in Auckland and you had needed cataracts, you got fairly prompt service. Your waiting time wasn't that long. But if you were in Queenstown, you might be waiting 2 or 3 years. And it wasn't a function of how much money you had, but of where you lived. Now, that has been changed under the current government. And I just wondered, because this is the awkward thing when you vote for a party and you vote for their policies, but then you also have to consider, well, who else are they with and who are those people's policies, what are their policies, and are they likely to allow New Zealand First policy to come into being? And of course you can't answer that, so I'm not even asking you, I'm just voicing that concern. So it's your interview, not mine, so I'm going to button off, but at the same time I really am very curious as to know, in terms of translating policies into action, what sort of issues have the uppermost value in health? What is the most important? If demolishing the new Te Whata Ora setup takes us back to DHBs from the past, will that be good?
Personally, I wouldn't have a response to that, because we still are, you know, I guess Te Whata Ora, the name is definitely going to be changed. Mm-hmm. Half our population know what Te Whata Ora means, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so many challenges facing the elderly, which can, you know, can cause a number of factors, like you said, financial insecurity, physical health, mental health. You know, we need to be focused. We know, you know, Treasury already needs to be aware to do a plan, a strategic plan for a 10-year plan, 20-year plan, 30-year plans, because of the numbers of the elderly increasing for the next 30 years. In saying that, it's about time we take our country back, and that means taking our country back for all people. Things are just failing everywhere. You know, there's just so much political squabbling happening, and it's easy to say, oh yeah, we'll do this and we'll do that, but you haven't done any research. You've just said these words are cheap, you know. There's elderly suffering. The biggest challenge to older adults is health. You know, to monitor their old age problems, we need to do regular checkups, monitor body changes. You know, depending on the health concern, possible solutions to these problems can include a healthy diet, exercise, or medication. So, we all will age, and with age will come issues such as, or health concerns such as health, heart disease, diabetes, hearing loss, cataracts, chronic pulmonary diseases, heart attacks, stroke, you know, muscle weakness, fatigue, loss of balance. And, you know, gum disease, oral gum disease. I mean, I was at a meeting not too long ago, and some of the seniors were saying they've been to the dentist and their gums have been, they went for a clean and the gums have been affected. And now it's taking them ages to get their gums back in order so they can eat and chew properly. I mean, mental health issues that create depression, anxiety, you know, substance abuse. So, again, you know, we got to do basic. We got to go back to basics and start doing what we were doing, you know, back from those bloated and out-of-touch Wellington bureaucrats who sit in offices and don't really know what the real issues are. You know, we are actually the struggles of the seniors. You know, they're hardy backle Kiwis. Now they've done their share, you know, but look at what's happening now. Things are failing everywhere. All our costs are going skywards. Food, power, fuel, healthcare, rent, rates. Seniors don't deserve this. Seniors deserve better. You know, we need to. New Zealand First will give real hope, a promising real hope back to our people, including seniors. We've got to improve the lives of our seniors. So, you know, I think we will need to work very closely with the grey power groups, you know, the silver groups, There's a lot of diverse ethnic senior groups, and you know, ensure that the system, the health system, the financial systems are up and running to provide for the best care for all vulnerable seniors. Surely there are some seniors who are well off. You know, we're not denying that. But yes, we can do much, much more. We cannot continue to assault, our seniors and abuse them because they cannot provide food on their tables. It is heartbreaking to know that some seniors are going without power, not heating their homes. They're not able to, they're lonely. You know, if you don't pay membership of an organization, what does that say? You will be lonely. You will be all alone at home. You know, memberships are social, they're ways to socialize, you know, have a cup of tea with people and, you know, just check, where things are with yourself and with other friends. You might pick up a new idea, you know, for some health issue that's going through. So, yeah, it's not limited to health. They face problems from outside sources in society. Safety is a big issue. We've had seniors hassled by criminals. You know, they don't deserve that. And we've got to get strong with law and order. We've got to get rid of this soft on crime government. And New Zealand First is ready to sort, you know, tackle the criminals by giving them harsher punishment. If you do the crime, you do the time. You're not going to be, you know, running around freely, basically, and be given KFC whilst you go on a, you know, on a strike somewhere on the roof. So, Anne-Marie, I am concerned about our seniors, and I need to say we need to give real hope back to our seniors. They deserve it.
Indeed, and I think there are daily some newspaper accounts of events that lead us to roll our eyes and wonder what next. But certainly things like the use of electronic bracelets keeping people out of prison has a value for people for compassionate reasons who need to be out of jail, but to see that or to read that tinfoil wrapped around the bracelet enables people to abscond effectively because they can move around freely in society without being monitored, that is a nightmare.
Anne-Marie, sorry to cut you. If we had found this leaked paper, no one would have known this was happening. You know, so what? No, it's ridiculous. You know, we need to get tough on crimes. But yes, we are passionate and compassionate, but we could have started very early. You know, why are we losing children to crimes like this? You know, what is happening? What is happening in our social surroundings? How is, you know, our society gone back so far that, you know, that we've got increase in 400 ram raids? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It's certainly ridiculous. I think we're looking at a generation of people who have not had stability in their upbringing, who felt abandoned, and so they don't have a moral code to live by, and hence they can do these kinds of acts with impunity. The difficulty I see right now is that we lost sight of how much support families need in order to rear children successfully. So we've had so many experts and so much research in the past that's pointed the way. If you intervene at birth, just before going to school in the final years of preschool, if you intervene at the intermediate age group, those interventions with wraparound support for the various families that the children come from, those intervention timeframes at that point in the life cycle produce the best outcomes. And we've known that, you know, it's not rocket science. It's in the literature, it's in the research that's been done for quite a few years. So it's quite solid research, and we haven't really taken it on board. We haven't really listened. We haven't given it pride of place in terms of translating that into what actions we're going to take. And it's like anything, the old 80-20 rule, you know, it's not, it's 20% of the action can produce the 80% result. So you can be very cost effective if you target the right things.
That's right. I mean, in 2018, you know, New Zealand First introduced a learning support coordinators. I have no idea what happened to that. We advocated for free trades training in 2020. You know, we restored 100% funding ban for teachers' salaries, ECE services. We delivered a funding boost over 4 years for early learning services. We improved pay for 17,000 qualified teachers working in education and care services. This was when we were in coalition. But at the same time, what we saw is COVID's got a lot to answer for this as well. The lockdowns have got a lot to answer for this as well. You know, communities, vulnerable communities at home, had access to computers, to IT, which was, you know, given by government. There's a lot. I've just heard a family tell me that all the time that the kids were not really learning, they had access to porn. So, you know, that's a shocker. I mean, you know, you've given a gadget. It's like a weapon. You weaponize the kids with computers to go, hey, here we go, you know, do. And look at the ideology. What are we doing? We're taking parents away.
Yes. And, I have to just point out that this is a program that's limited. So even though education is dear to the hearts of seniors, and it's something that lots of people will be listening to, we actually are going to finish in the very, very soon. I just want to ask you to tell us your website so people can actually look at for more information.
The New Zealand First website is nzfirst.org or .nz. Mm-hmm. It's fine. All our policy updates are in there. There's an event this Saturday in Orewa where our leader is speaking. There is an event on Sunday. It's all on our website. We would Great. Love to see as many people, and we would request New Zealand First party vote. Seniors, please look at that, look at the policies, and please support New Zealand First.
Thank you so much, Anne Parler, for being with us today and sharing your thoughts. All the best for the campaign.
Thanks, Anne.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.